Number 280. And now, if it's convenient for you, I'll ask you to stand as we sing number 47. Number 47. We'll sing all verses together. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. Jesus is real, Jesus is real.
Good to see this number out this morning. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning with me to the book of Acts in the 26th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time. The book of Acts in the 26th chapter. Good to have the Houchins with us this morning. The Houchins, I've known Brandon since my days in college, and we're glad to have them move to Shevville. I'm glad to have them with us this morning. Brother Frank has made, as Brother Reeves mentioned, these little pamphlets to pass out. There's over 200 here, and there could be more Wednesday. And Brother Frank has always been very well, has done well at making these so we could pass out for our meetings. And they're easy to put in your pocket and just hand to your friends. And Brother Frank, we appreciate him wanting to advertise the meeting and helping us with this. And so if you'll take these with you, they're easy to pass out. And there'll be some here on the table, and there's some in the back. So please be sure to get some pamphlets to pass out. In the book of Acts, in the 26th chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 24. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escape his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." When you read the Bible, the divine revelation of God, the Holy Spirit, through that Word of God, has given us a series of lifelike pictures or portraits of human nature. And that's one of the most effective ways of learning the Bible, is looking at men and looking at their different attitudes. And in our study at this time, I will bring before you three portraits of three men. And while we examine these three men, I want us to examine which one best represents us. It just might be that when the lesson is over, you might look like one of these three men. The first man that I want to put before you is the man identified in verse 24 as Festus. And notice, he was the Roman governor at this particular time. And this man, when Paul is speaking in verse 24, abruptly interrupts Paul, and notice what he said. He said, "Thou art beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." If you have your Bible, underscore "driving you mad." this man's attitude was that much learning had driven Paul crazy. And so when this man looked at Paul, he saw a man that he thought was losing his mind. It was a man that was ignorant of the religion of God in the true sense of the word. And so he mocked Paul by saying that he was insane for teaching and believing what he believed. And what about this man? In this case, was he hopeless? Is there any way that such a man like Festus could be saved? Even though at this time the man mocked the word of God, could he change? And I'll tell you, that man could change, my friend. Even though he acted in this manner, God's love and grace was still extended unto him, and he could have been saved if he'd obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But notice, if you will, with me a second man. And notice the portrait of a man identified as Agrippa in verse 27. And notice, Agrippa is a man that knew the law of God. He was not like Festus in many ways. He had the knowledge of the law and the prophets. In fact, that's what Paul said to him. In verse 27, he said, Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. So here was a man that understood the law. He had the knowledge of the law and the prophets, as Paul stated. However, he lacked something important. He lacked faith. He lacked love and courage to be saved. And notice his statement that he made in verse 28. And we've read it so many times, I wonder if we understand the importance of it. When he said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. He was almost persuaded. And I'll tell you, that is a sad picture indeed for someone to believe in God and yet lack the faith to obey God. They believe that there is a God. They believe the Bible. They say they believe all these things. And yet they lack the courage to put it into action, to show their faith, and to be obedient to the Word of God. But now let's look at the third man for just a moment of our time. We've looked at the man named Festus, and we've identified him as a powerful man who was an individual who was ignorant of the law, and thus he mocked it. We identified Agrippa, who was a man who understood the law and prophets, and yet he was almost persuaded, yet lacked the faith. But look at Paul and consider this man at this time from the text that we just read. And this man's portrait can be summed up in the words that he said in verse 29 when he said, such as I am, except for these chains. Paul said, in other words, he wanted people to be what he was without the suffering he had to go through at that particular time. And what was Paul? Well, first you can put down that Paul was convinced of the fact of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you take your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians and the 15th chapter. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll notice in the first four verses that Paul is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, underscore that word, the good news. What is the good news, Paul? He said, I preached it to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if, notice the condition, you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed it in vain. In other words, you did not have faith in it. So then in verse 3, he said, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to what? The Scriptures. He went back and showed the Old Testament prophecies that Jesus would prophesy to be put to death upon the cross of Calvary. And then notice, my friend, in verse 4, he was buried. They put him in the grave. They said that he was dead, and so thus they put him in the grave. But notice, my friend, the third thing. He arose the third day, and notice, to emphasize it, Paul says again, according to the Scriptures. Paul made his plea to go back to the Bible, to go back to Scripture, and see that this had been prophesied about. And so Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was never ashamed to proclaim the gospel wherever he went. In Romans chapter 1, we've been making a study on Wednesday night with Brother Carroll leading that study. And we've looked at a key verse in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1 where Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also the Greek. But I want you to notice something else this man believed. He believed that man was guilty of sin. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, he said, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Now notice he said, "All have sinned." They didn't inherit sin. When you were born, you were not born with sin. You did not inherit that from your parents. But when you came to an age of accountability, if you have your right senses, you made a decision between doing right and wrong, and you transgressed, you fell short of the glory of God. And you'll remember that John wrote in his epistle in 1 John 3 that sin is lawlessness. That sin is not keeping the law of God, but violating His holy word. That sin is falling short. So I recognize that Paul did say that all have sinned and that all have fallen short. Now these are the ones who need to be saved from their sin. An individual who is of accountability, an individual who can understand right from wrong, an individual that needs to be saved is an individual who has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I'll tell you a third thing Paul believed. If you take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts in the 22nd chapter. He remembered what the preacher who came to him said, and he told it to others. In Acts 22 and 16, he believed that the sinner needed to obey. You remember Ananias said to him, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And this man obeyed exactly what he was told to do. Then if you take your Bible and turn to the Roman letter and the 6th chapter, you'll find that he went about preaching this same thing to everywhere he went, preaching it to the people that he met. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, he said, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." Paul preached that one must be immersed into Christ for the remission of sin. And then, my friend, he doesn't stop there. He preached that one must devote their life to serving God. In Romans chapter 12, look at the statement that is made in verses 1 and 2. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Notice he said, you're to be a living sacrifice. I appreciated a comment a man made this past week when I was away in the gospel meeting in Florence. He made the statement, he said, "I've often wondered if we even understand what it means to be a living sacrifice." And I think about how in our lives we need to be a living sacrifice. And it's not unreasonable for God to ask that. Look at the last sentence in verse 12. He said, "This is your reasonable service." God doesn't ask anything unreasonable of us. He asks us and commands of us to be a living, holy sacrifice. And that we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices, as Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:5. That we are spiritual people offering up spiritual sacrifices to the praise of God. And therefore we present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. But I'll tell you something else Paul was convinced of. He was convinced that there was life beyond the grave. He was convinced of the world to come. Look, if you will, kindly in the Philippian letter and the first chapter. In Philippians chapter 1, if you will, kindly drop down to verse 21. And notice that Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Look at that hope. Then look at what he says in verse 24 and 25. He said, "To remain is needful for you. And being confident of this, I know I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy." But notice what he said in verse 23 carefully. His desire was to be with Christ. Where was Christ? Christ had already died and been raised from the dead and ascended back to the Father. He's at the right hand of God. Paul's desire is to be in heaven. Now that brings us down to our application. What about today? As we go back and look at these three portraits of human life on earth, do we still have them? Is there a Festus among us today? Is it not true that we have many today who think that we are mad, that we're insane, that we're crazy for doing the things that we do? There are people that drive up and down this highway who think it's silly for us to worship. They think it's silly for us to take time to serve God. They laugh at us, they ridicule us, they mock us. And I'll tell you, my friend, it's gotten worse over the last years. People no longer have any respect for God or God's people. And you'll find that in our day and time that there are Christians who are being persecuted. There are Christians being put to death for their faith in Christ. And in our day and time, my friend, there are some people, they have nothing to do with the Bible. They don't have anything to do with prayer. They have nothing to do with serving God. And I have a question for you. You may not hate us, but my friend, I want to ask you something. Do you have anything to do with us? Do you study the Bible, the Word of God, on your own? Do you pray to God? Or do you think that's just silly? How many people truly believe in God? There are a lot of people like Festus. They think religion may be for someone else, but it's not for them. But then secondly, is there any today with the knowledge of the Word of God like Agrippa, but they will not obey God? They will not put their faith in what the Lord has commanded. They're almost there, but not quite. They've been hearing the Word of God. They know the Word of God. They understand what they need to do, but they've not yet done it. They are almost persuaded. I'll tell you, that's one of the saddest things to think about. How many people have almost been saved? My sister in Dixon, Tennessee, has been talking to a young lady, and she was almost persuaded to become a child of God. Then she went and talked to her grandmother, who was of a particular denomination, and her grandmother called my sister and said, "Don't talk to her anymore about being baptized. Don't even talk to her anymore." And I've often thought about how many people listen to their family over the Word of God. And yet, my friend, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me." I'll tell you, my friend, that is a sad word to hear, almost. Is that you? Perhaps at one time you were a child of God. One time you had been baptized. One time you were right with God. But you've gone into the world. Do you need to come back? I think the saddest word in the Bible is depart. One of the second saddest words is almost. You can be almost there and yet be lost. But is there any like Paul? I would that we had more like this man. Men that are willing to obey the will of the Lord and then have a burning desire that others be saved. Look in your Bible in the Roman letter and the 10th chapter. In the Roman letter and the 10th chapter, notice exactly what the Apostle Paul said. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. I bear them witness, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." They're like Festus, they needed the knowledge. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they seek to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted to the righteousness of God." You know, we're having a gospel meeting next week. And while we have this gospel meeting to edify and encourage us, you know what we really want to do? We want to bring the lost to Christ. Do we have a burning desire to see others be saved? Notice that was Paul's heart's desire. I think about Brother Frank making the pamphlets. I think about the work being put in. Are we working to bring the lost to Christ? Are we bringing others to hear the Word of God preached? All we have to do is hand them a pamphlet and say, "Come and see." You know what Brother Haywood's going to be preaching on? The resurrection. I think we miss it sometimes on the resurrection. We need to hear more about the resurrection of Christ. And it would be good if we had an individual come and hear in about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection from the grave. Are you like that man? When we ask the question, where are the three now? There's no record of Festus or Agrippa making their lives right with God. But you know what Paul said? Open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul was about to be put to death, he said he was ready. In chapter 4, verse 6, he said, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul said, I'm ready. I want my crown. And he was promised the crown of life, just as you and I are, if we're faithful to God. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the King of Kings. I've got a question this morning. Which one best represents you? If your portrait was in the Bible, would you be Festus? Would you be Agrippa? Or would you be Paul? That's a serious thought and a serious question. If you need to obey the gospel and be baptized, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.